Take it over.
Take over.
Come breathe in me. Hallelujah.
Come breathe in me.
And I will rise.
And I will rise.
With eagle's wings.
On
eagle's wings. Such an honor to know you, to worship you, to abide in your presence, to feel the surge of your life and power flowing through our spirits, souls, and bodies. Blessed be your name. We enter your word with reverence. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand, asking for fresh unction and anointing. Firstly, upon my heart and my lips, indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Now I ask the same unction and anointing be put upon the ears and the hearts of everybody who will hear me, those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow, Father, freely, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled and tempered, the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray that, Lord God, as I speak, I will speak with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructing of the kingdom. We ask that you release your power in great measure to follow and back these words wherever they are heard and released and flow throughout the whole earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, yes, that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. All those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mention in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed with me and said,
amen.
This afternoon I have a short exhortation which I have entitled The Economy of Words. The ministration by the choir just now on Christ living in us. In Him I Live and I Move, by beautiful song by written by David Ingalls, very anointed. Those songs are full of revelation knowledge. And don't just sing them as nice songs. You have to meditate upon the words and allow the Spirit of God to minister to you. And the second song on Come Live in Me, and that's what we're asking. That's my vision, sons of God. Of course, Jesus is already in us. We know that. But He says, come live in me all my life. Take it over. Come breathe. And that's what God did with Adam. That's what He's going to do with us again. He made Adam from the dust of the earth. We see Adam isn't dust. Because God breathed into him the breath of life. And the scripture says he became a living soul. Let's say it another way. I paraphrase. His soul had life. He put Zoe into the mind, into the will, into the emotions. So Adam could name all the animals. Tremendous mental capacity. So when you're singing, come live in me, you're not just, you're asking for all that. Come live in me. Yes. Pastor G, That's a beautiful scripture. You know, the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me in these last few days, because there's a time of great expectation of the glory of God. And, you know, that scripture that Pastor G quoted a part of has come strongly to me. And this message I'm going to share with you is very akin or allied, you know, close related to it. You know, it says that God will strengthen us with might. I know it off head. I've been praying for years. With might by His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ would dwell in your heart by faith. That, watch this, you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, the Lord told me, He said, that is the prerequisite for the manifestation of the sons of God. If you put all that together, you come out with this: become rooted and grounded in love. A person who's not rooted and grounded in love, God won't fill him with all His fullness. He will be a disaster going somewhere to explode. You must be rooted and grounded in love. When you're rooted and grounded in love, you'll be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth and length. You know, but the real criteria there is rooted and grounded. It's that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And watch this. The Ephesians weren't. If they were, he would not pray that prayer for them. But they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues. So we're born again with people, but we're not filled with all the fullness of God. But the good news is, you know, it's round the corner. The world is about to see a bunch of guys and girls, men and women, who are filled with all the fullness of God. Nobody has ever seen anything like it before. Filled with all, and watch this. If it was not possible, Paul would not pray it. And the Holy Spirit will not record it as a Holy Spirit inspired prayer. God isn't toying with us, you know. He isn't just getting us excited. He means what He says. He says, I pray. That song is so beautiful. It brings me to my knees. And that's exactly what Ephesians says. It says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom all the family in heaven and earth is named, that He might grant you to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, that ye might be filled with all the fullness. That's the terminus. That's the end point. Thank you, Larry. That's where we're going, folks. So you know what? I'm busy getting rooted and grounded in love. I am busy getting rooted and grounded in love. It's the key. It's so similar to that scripture in Colossians, where it says, in Him all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth bodily. Can you imagine seeing the fullness of the Godhead inside the body of one person? Oh! Don't you ever say, God help my own belief. I could read their minds. The Bible says, and Jesus perceived the thought of their hearts. Stagger not in unbelief at the promise of God. If it is not possible, it will not be in the Bible. It was to let us know it's a reality. Paul prayed it by the Holy Spirit as a prayer. And there is no prayer in that Bible that's not answered. There will be. Yea, and there is. A performance, thank you, Lord. Of the things which has been spoken. Do you know, it is as impossible for a virgin to have a child as it is for you to believe that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. But did not the virgin conceive? So you too will be filled with all the fullness of God. Thank you, Larry. How many people can say, be it unto me? Behold the servant of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Colossians 1. No wonder why the Bible says exceeding great and precious promises. The promise is not only great. He was looking for language to describe what God had done. That ye might be partakers of the divine, filled with all the fullness of God. So people will see and they see God. The economy of words. I preached a message not too long ago called The Economy of Prayer. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 2. It's a short exhortation. Suffer ye this short word. That's what Paul said when he wrote the book of Hebrews. Just a short word of exhortation. I like it here in the King James. Be not rash to open your mouth, everybody. With your mouth. And let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. This is a serious warning. God is trying to tell you that, you know, Anshegbel, we're not on the same. You know, I love you and all of that, and I want to bring you up to my level. But there's a way of coming up. So he says, for God is in heaven, and thou art upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Everybody say, economy of words. We're coming. The hour is coming. I like to say Jesus, the way Jesus said it. The hour is coming, and now is where God is going to put tremendous power in the mouth of a man. So God is, this is the reason for this message. He wants us to understand the importance of words. You know, the Yorubas, you know, in our, you know, the Yoruba is a very spiritual tribe. I'm sure all tribes on the earth are at one level or the other, you know, because I'm Yoruba, so I understand our culture. You know, there's a saying in our language, it says, Ashewa Lenoba. Do you know what that means? The word Ashe means it will come to pass. Ashe means it will happen. So they say, when the king talks, Ashe Owa Lenoba. When the king says something, it's going to happen. So the king has to be careful what he says. There is a divine, it's exactly in the scripture, in the mouth of the king. That's why kings have to be trained how to talk. You don't just start talking anyhow and tweet it anyhow and text it anyhow. The Holy Ghost. Only Bobashin sorrow. There is a way kings talk. As I'm growing spiritually, I'm getting better and better control over my words, especially when I'm angry. Pastor G, what would happen to the orbit of the earth if God got angry?
I don't know how many of you know, you can thank God for Google and the internet. Now you can learn anything. It doesn't matter what subject you learn. Just Google it. You know, some explanation, you see it in Wikipedia or something. The earth is inclined at a particular angle. Like that. The axis. That is spinning. It has what we call in physics, we call it 2 degrees of freedom. It's spinning around its axis, and then that whole system is revolving around the sun. It has to stay at that particular angle, because if you just shift it slightly, it will go off into outer space. So God has to be careful what he says, because all things are upheld by the word of his power. Amen. Do you know that the circumstances of your life are upheld by the word of your power? Do you know that the circumstances of your life are being upheld by the word of God that's coming through your mouth? And then you just start sending your things out of orbit. God is not stupid, you know. So he says to you, he said, let thy words be few. Weigh what you say before you say it. James chapter 3 verse 2. This is the functional definition of perfection. We have what I call the descriptive definition of perfection, which is the removal of the sin nature from the soul and the flesh. That's the descriptive definition, which is correct. But this is the functional one. This is the one where you don't have to see the sin nature. If you see this, you know that it's there. If any man open your mouth, for in many things we offend all. It's common to all human beings. But he's telling us that we must not stay there. If any man, turn to your neighbor, say, it's possible for a man to do it. If any man, then touch your neighbor, say, any man, including you and I. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. Turn to your neighbor, say, you just got the definition, the functional definition of perfection. This is the functional definition. He is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. The word bridle comes from the horse. When you put a bit in the mouth of the horse, then when you pull it like this, the horse will stop. If you pull it like this, the horse will go in this direction. If you pull it like this, it will go in the other direction. Says, if you don't make mistake in what you say, you are perfect. And you can control your body and your circumstances. I'm not going to go there because of time. He says, you know, the whole wheel of nature. There's also, give it to me. It's James chapter 3 here. It's in the Amplified. In the Amplified Bible, I think it's in verse 4. So it says, the whole cycle of natural events. Thank you. Go to the Amplified. Quickly get it for me. What verse is it? Thank you. Likewise also, look at the ships. Though they be so great or big, are driven by rough winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the impulse of the helmsman determines. Next verse. Even so, now there's a, give it to me in the Amplifier. Aha, here it is. The tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of wickedness set among our members, contaminating and depraving the whole body. Watch this. Setting on fire the wheel of birth, the cycle of man's nature being itself ignited by hell. The whole cycle of natural events is triggered by the tongue. That's why we're coming into this manifestation of the glory of God. And this issue of words has now become critical. And that's why I'm sharing this with us. Now, the scripture tells us the reason. Look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. To start with. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. What's wrong with us this afternoon? In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. If you talk a lot, you will sin. End of story. It didn't say you shouldn't talk. It said in the multitude of words. You see, once a person starts talking too much, he wants to tell lies. Let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. He said anything that comes away from this is from evil. Does that mean you shouldn't talk? Well, of course we talk. But you see, what God is trying to tell us is less economy of words. Whatever you want to say, say it in as few words, as accurate words as possible. When you talk too much, you have a tendency to, there's something called exaggeration. Thank you. Verbose. Where you just sort of flowery language. And you say, what has he said? He hasn't said anything. You want to be like God. Now, I just got a tweet, Pastor G. God said everything he wanted to say about every human being that will ever live in 66 volumes. Only a person who is an expert at an economy of words could do that. Give the Lord a clap offering. Everything he wanted to say about every human being who would ever live, and the plan of redemption, he puts it in a book that is smaller than most medical textbooks. With all apologies. I remember when we were medical, I wasn't a medical student, but I had a lot of friends who were, you know, we had Grey's Anatomy, we had, you know, Samson's Right, Applied Physiology. You guys, I used to help them, you know, we used to, I say, you these boys, you know, they're thicker than the Bible. But it don't contain one-tenth of what the Bible has. Because this author understands the economy of words. Where did I get this from? Are you listening to me? God says everything he wants to say in as few words as possible. And it's very effective. It's an art the Holy Spirit has to teach us. Now there's another technical reason why your words should be few. And it's in Proverbs chapter 13 verse 3. Proverbs 13 verse 3. This is a technical reason. He that keepeth his mouth does what? That life there is Zoe. When you talk too much, you dissipate Zoe, and it's used for friction. It just dissipates heat. It doesn't do any functional work. Those of us who know a little bit of physics, you don't even have to know a little bit of physics. You see, you can work, you can spend a lot of energy, but you're not doing useful work. Everyone say useful work. You see, there is wasteful work. Everyone say wasteful work. Then there is useful work. All of it is work. All of it is consuming energy. But one One is using energy in a useful manner. The other one is using energy in a wasteful manner. As it is in the natural, so it is in the spirit. And that's why Jesus said, every idle word. Talk. But is that, are those words creative? Are they producing any useful work? Or are they just, you know, dissipating energy? Energy is being released, but the energy is not focused, it's not doing anything useful. That's why the Bible says, he that keepeth his mouth, let's say it another way, let your words be few. You want to make sure that every word counts. It's efficient and it's having an effect. If it's not going to make sense, don't say it. If it's not going to minister grace to the hearers, don't say it. The Bible even talks about foolish jesting. It doesn't say we shouldn't jest. You know, God too has a sense of humor. How many people know that God, you know? How many people know that God cracks jokes? Some people don't know. Only about 3 or 5 of us. How many people know that God has a sense of humor? Who named James and John the sons of thunder? That's sense of humor. You know why? They wanted to thunder fire from heaven and kill all the Samaritans. Now they said, Lord, let us call fire from heaven like Elijah did. Jesus, I can imagine the twinkle in Jesus' eye. You know not. Hey boys, you know not what spirit. From that day, they call them sons of thunder. Okay, so what I'm saying is that God has a sense of humor. God's not saying we shouldn't joke and all of that. But even when you joke, make it constructive. Let it be something that will really bless. And you know, when you say nice, like what I just told, that was sons of thunder, everybody laughed. You know, but in a nice kind of way. Do you understand? But there's foolish jesting. Look, I come back Barry Lonnie. People don't understand. When we were in secondary school and university, there's something called irrelevant. Irre. Some of this younger generation were more. So, you know, a guy just be talking, and by Zako, oh, come Barry Lonnie. You know, I remember when we were kids, oh, come Jive me. You know, don't be like that. Mama Barry. Do you understand? Speak to the point. Let your words be few. Don't dissipate energy in a useless fashion. Because life is energy. Don't waste it. I don't know how many of you know this. You know, you should know it because I preach this here so many times. You know, Satan cannot create. I don't know how many of you know. He was created. Do you understand? He was the anointed cherub that covereth. Satan doesn't have any creative power. He only has destructive power. He can only distort what God has already made. And that's what you do when you use your words wrongly. Because wasteful energy goes to distort creation rather than enhance it. Careful what you say. This thing is killing me, oh! Have you heard that before? This thing, hey, this man, while they kill me, oh! Hey, they kill you, Loto. Oh, my mama, by me! You just sent out words that's going to start killing. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Let thy words be few. Speak to the point. If you cannot be positive, shut up. I'm going to show you how to die in a minute. You know, if you must speak, speak positively. No matter how negative a situation is, you can find a positive thing to say to change it. But you have to have a mindset that wants to do that. Am I talking to anybody here? This, my back is just killing me. you know, we get so used to it, we just say it without even thinking about it, and the thing will be killing you. No, it's not you can have what you say, you will have what you say. That's what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say you can, he said you will. So we have to be careful about the words we speak. That's why we need to let our words be few, you know, so that we speak creative words. We speak words that will enhance and be in alignment with the Word of God and the will of God, rather than words that are wasteful. When I say wasteful now, the energy that they produce is wasteful, so it distorts rather than enhances creation. And so, I was meditating this morning, and this scripture came to me as I was preparing the message. You know, you know, Jesus was so precise about this, about the economy of words. When he gave them the borrowed anointing, he told them, don't greet people. Can you believe that? Jesus wasn't asking us to be antisocial. Give me the scripture. Let me put this on the board. It's in Luke chapter 10. And verse 5. Luke 10, verse 5. Luke. This is when he called the 70 and he gave them the borrowed anointing. Look at verse 6, I think. Is it 6? Where in the world am I? I got it here, 10, 5. Go back to 4, where it says, if you meet every man with a hand, this is it, 4. And this is amazing scripture. I would say, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes. Now he's saying, all your needs are going to be supplied by the borrowed anointing. That was in, you know, that time. Now he says, and salute no man by the way. This anointing I've given you, don't go and waste it talking stupid talk. Does it mean you shouldn't salute people? You do. Hello, how are you? You greet people. But what he's saying is this: when you're anointed and you have a job at hand, that's not the time to get involved in petty talk. My pastors know. When they see me in the morning when I'm coming, you know, for the service and they greet me, I don't talk. I just do like this. I don't want to waste the anointing. And start saying, Wally, how are you? How is Nkechi? We'll talk about that after the service. I'm conserving the anointing for the service. So I can't afford to dissipate it. My wife knows. Once I start praying in the morning and my room and all that, she's talking to me just like this. I avoid talking ordinary human talk while I'm getting divine instruction. Amen. Let thy words be few. Even in so-called greeting. Doesn't mean you shouldn't greet people. Don't go and start saying, Pastor, they greet you in the office tomorrow. Our pastor told us, yes, salute no man, salute no man. Handling the word of God deceitfully. I didn't say you shouldn't greet people. I'm saying when you're praying and all of that, and you haven't, they were going for a job. Jesus said, this is not the time to, you know, there's a time for everything. There's a time to be speak and there's a time to be silent. You know, and you know, you can say hello. Oh, hello, how are you? God bless you. Hang on. Ah, how now? you don't see today's guardian. Oh, all these politicians, eh? And before you know it, 10, 15, 20 minutes on silly things. But all the thing you generated in the morning. Phew. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, time to keep silence, time to speak. How? And we close. How do you do this? You learn the economy of words by filling your heart with the Word of God and the life of God, and praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues frequently. I'm just going to summarize. I'm going to use two scriptures and we're going to close. The first one is Luke 6:45. A good man. I didn't hear you. How many good people are here? I thought you were good. I said, a good man. All the good people will answer me. I said, a good man. Out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. Pastor G, watch this. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. In other words, what is brought forth by what his mouth speaks. You didn't get it. What was brought forth by what the mouth spoke. So it was the mouth speaking that was bringing forth. You see, he says, oh, good treasure brings out. But he's not telling you the mechanism by which it is done. It's through the speaking of the mouth. Are you listening to me? Now, watch this. It is what he put in that comes out. Garbage in, garbage out. There is no way of controlling your tongue by just saying, I won't say any bad thing today. You know, they have told us we shouldn't greet people. So we get to the office, did you carry? You're trying to do it in the flesh. You just be a to everybody else. No. You want to speak good words? You want your words to be few? Fill your heart with the Word of God. That's why you need to read your Bible every day. That's why you need to listen to anointed messages like this. What are you putting in your heart? Is what is inside that's going to come out. So you need to reprogram. There are two things here. There is the, watch this, there is the information of the Word of God, and then there is the life of the Word of God. They're not the same. They're closely allied. Information is what the Word of God actually says. Life is the power that will cause it to be effective. So when you fill your heart with the life, with the Word of God, you're filling it. That's why we use last scriptures. We're filling that with life. Then when we now read the Bible and you're listening to messages like this, you are getting the information. So when you now mix the information with the life and the power, when it comes out, it will bring forth that which is good. Did you get it? Wow. Then finally, praying in tongues. I've said this many times over the years. When you pray in the Spirit, you are allowing the Holy Spirit to program your mind, because he's going to, the tongues you speak are not man's words. They're God's words. The Bible says the Spirit gives utterance. So when you begin to pray in tongues, and that's why you need to pray in tongues frequently. When you begin to pray a lot in tongues, what's going to happen is that the words of your mouth will start, even when you speak in the understanding, the tongues has reprogrammed what is inside them. It's like a computer. It has programmed it. So when you now begin to speak, you'll be speaking from God and not from man. Amen. This is what I do every Sunday here. See, you come here and you just hear me say all kinds of things, you're flying out. It's what I've been programmed. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. You have to pray. It is actually the Bible says, differences of administrations, differences of operations. It's actually an operation of tongues and interpretation at another level. So what I do is, when you're praying in the closet, you're praying the tongues. And when you come out to talk before the people, you're giving the interpretation. Same Holy Ghost. Same Holy Ghost. And you know what? What we've said so many times, tongues will tame your tongue. That's why the great apostle said this. He said, I would that you all spoke in tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5. Then in verse 18, he says, I thank my God. I speak in tongues more. Everybody say, speak in tongues more. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. Talk to your neighbor, say, you need to speak in tongues more frequently. I need to speak in tongues more frequently. So that my words will be few, powerful, concise, and effective. You cannot tame the tongue by natural power. Only the Holy Ghost can tame your tongue. So the combination is this. You feed the Word of God into your heart. You hear it. You fill it with life. You listen to it. You program it. You put it in. Then the Holy Spirit, when you now pray in tongues, He will, that word that is already there that you put in, the Holy Spirit will now work on it. Then when you want to talk, you will just find that the right words will come out. That's why the Lord Jesus said this to him. He said, when they arrest you and they put you before kings and people, he said, don't worry what you're going to say. It's not the people who have programmed it all. Hello? He says, you don't worry what you're going to say. He says, when you speak, it will not be you who will speak. This is not tongues. It's natural language. The rest, the other guys won't hear what you're saying. So he's not talking about tongues here. He said, it will be given to you. He said, what you speak, it will your Father Himself will speak. No, you don't have to do that only when you're in trouble. You can do it all the time. You didn't get that. You don't have to wait until when you are arrested and you go somewhere and you know, and you're in trouble. That you can do that all the time. Where everything you always say is what your Father says. Isn't that what Jesus did? Jesus said, I don't speak. He said, as I hear, I speak. Say, the words I speak, they're not my words. But He spoke that all the time. So when He said, Peter, move the boat, let's fish. It was the Father. Hello? Hello? When He looked up and said, Zacchaeus, I'm going to eat in your house tonight. It was the Father. Are you listening to me? Online. 24/7. That's the limit. You know, where we are going, I said this some years ago, it's come back to me, Pastor G. I think it's even in our book, The Gifts and the Call. That we need to get that book back on. You know, you see, you have, God have mercy, help me. You have three sets of spiritual gifts, what we call the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You have the utterance gifts, that's the gifts that say something. You have the power gifts, the gifts that do something. And then you have the revelation gifts, the gifts that show or reveal something. Now, really what the gifts of the Holy Spirit is not just, it's actually a temporary release of the power of the Spirit without measure. So when you get a word of knowledge, it's actually the word or word of wisdom, is actually the Holy Spirit giving you His wisdom, but just for that short period of time, in a flash. Now, this one we are calling Spirit without measure, that's permanent, is like, instead of having it flash, have it all the time. You know what's going to happen? What's going to happen is this. You know, you have three vocal gifts. You have tongues, you have diversities of tongues, and you have prophecy. All right? So what's going to happen is, as you develop spiritually and you get to that, begin to get to that major stature of Christ, your ordinary talk will be like prophecy. Did you ever notice where Jesus said, thus said the Lord? How many times did you ever read in the scripture where the Lord just says, thus said the Lord? It was always thus said the Lord. That's Jesus. Okay, look at Paul. Paul is writing to the Corinthians and he says, I don't have any commandment from God. He said, but I give my opinion, and I think I also have the Spirit of God. And God stamps that scripture. Thus says the Lord. He didn't put thus says the Lord in front, but he thus says the Lord, because it's inside the scripture. Are you listening to me? So it's not just Paul. It's not just it's for all of us. So as you develop your words, rather as you learn to tame your tongue by using the word and the power of the Holy Spirit, you let your words be few. And that doesn't mean you don't speak, but when they come out in the power of the Holy Spirit. They come out with precision. They come out to edify. They come out to instruct. Even when you joke, even when you jest, it's constructive. It's something that will be a blessing. And not just foolish, wasteful talking that dissipates energy. I got to close. If you don't learn to control your tongue and your words, you will not be entrusted with much power. For obvious reasons. Kenneth Copeland cracked this joke years ago. I've never forgotten it. He said, imagine putting the power that can move a mountain inside the mouth of somebody. The power like the power of an atom bomb or dynamite. And he said, go, send to the mountain, go into the sea and it will go. You know, and that power is there. And then the guy is driving on the expressway. And some guy just cut across this guy. Wah, 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 wah. The guy just goes into the mountain. He'll blow the guy to kingdom come. And God say, I can't trust this guy with that kind of power. He's going to kill everybody down the block. You know, by the evening, they'll kill his wife, his children, and all the neighbors. That's why, to be filled with all the fullness of God, to have this power in your mouth, you must be rooted and grounded in love. Let us pray. Talk to God. The economy of words. Stand to your feet. Let's talk to God. God wants to put His word and His power in our hearts and in our mouths. But for Him to do that, we must show Him that we are responsible. He said, let your words be few. It doesn't say you shouldn't speak. It doesn't say you shouldn't joke. But He's saying, let it count. Let it be edifying. Let it contain constructive power. Useful work, not wasteful work. Come breathe in me all my life. Beginning. Abiding. Here I am waiting.
Here I am.
Everybody sing it as an individual song to God.
Abide in me, I pray.
It's a prayer, even though it's a song.
More and more.
Come
Lord. Come breathe in me. Hallelujah. To God. This is the functional definition of perfection. This is a perfect man. It says if he doesn't say the wrong thing, he says he's perfect. So if you're a place where you're saying 99% good, 1%, so you're moving towards perfection. You look back and say, God, help me. I'm in better control of my tongue, in better control of my emotions. I only say what God will say. If God doesn't say it, I won't say it. Raise that hand. Touch that mouth. Isaiah 6 says, "Ah, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell amongst unclean people." And that's true of all of us in this toxic environment which we're living on the earth. Majority of the people around us are speaking death. And then the angel took a coal from the altar and he came and placed it on his lips, and his conversation was cleansed. Let us pray. Say, Father, we confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, I thank you for this word that has come on the economy of words. Touch my lips with the fire of the power of your Holy Spirit. Purify my lips. Purify my words. Lord, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me. Help me to program my heart with your word and the power of your Spirit, so that at all times I will only speak your words, like the Lord Jesus did, like Paul did. Help me to speak only your words, even in jesting, even in joking, to crack your own jokes, to have your own sense of humor, to speak to men words that are edifying, that minister grace unto their hearers. Help me, help me, help me, help me to let my words be few. Zephre, lombre katolom tolom to fredo frishi, jeke kakakakakama to fres, lombre kamatolom tolom to frenes, no frenes, ziki to frenes, lungerdeles, ziki to frenes, tolomangaras, tolomeras, to frenes, longaras, to frenes, haha, no ros, ziki to frenes, near dolos, near dolomas, nik to frenes, nongadalas, to frenes. In Jesus' name, touch your body, raise the second hand to the Lord as we pray for our healing and our health. Share this many months, years ago, about 2-3 years now. Don't wait until you're sick before you pray. There's things that are going on. We saw that illustration at the subatomic level all the time, at the DNA, at the level in the cells in the body. Satan has already started working, but it doesn't come out until after 6-9 months. Then you go to the doctor and say, ah! But if you pray, as he's working, you are working too. As he is working, the healing power is working. So the fact that you're not seeing anything on the outside doesn't mean plenty is not going on the inside. That's why you need to pray this healing prayer for yourself daily, weekly. You know, make sure the healing power of God is working in your body constantly. Don't wait until there's a manifestation of sickness before you take health and healing seriously. There's health and healing going on inside when there's everything to be okay on the outside. Is this clear? Say, Father, we confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. We say, by the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection, life and power, we are healed and we live in divine healing and health. We release resurrection power and life, healing power into our bodies, from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, into our heart, our liver, our kidneys, all our internal organs, all our blood vessels, into all our cells of our body, into the DNA of all our cells to function error-free, into our immune system to function error-free. We say, by the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection and power, we are healed and live in divine healing and health. We keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name. Don't just do that in church. Do it all the time. Anytime you have a headache or something, you know, quickly pray. You can take your medicine. I didn't say don't take your medicine, but pray first. I said pray first. Don't you never see your prayer is stronger than the medicine? It will make the medicine work better. Don't put your faith in the medicine. Put your faith in God, who can make the medicine to work properly. Ask the doctors. They, you know, I have some really good doctors here, you know, and I know they're not a part of this. You know, doctors, sometimes they try and make you feel that they know everything. They don't know everything. Shakarahani, thank you, Pastor Larry. You know, there's a lot they don't know. Sometimes they themselves are not trusted. You know, they will try one diagnosis, you know, and then they will switch to another one, and then switch to another one. He's guessing. Hello, Dr. Williams. You're smiling at me. I'm telling you the truth. You know, they themselves are us. There's a saying, you know, we care, God heals. They know, because this body is marvelous. It's God who made it. The thing heals itself. You just put in a few drugs, you know, pharmaceutical things, and the whole thing starts working again. What do you think causes that to happen? It's God. So when you pray, you make it work better. So don't put all your confidence in medicine alone. I didn't say don't use medicine. Don't go and put all your confidence in medicine. It says an Asa, when he was sick in his feet, he said he turned to the physicians and not to the Lord. And he died. Hezekiah too was sick. terminal. But he turned to the Lord. Both of them used medicine. And they brought the lump of figs. And they put it on the boil. And the Bible says, and he recovered. It was not the figs alone that did it. It was the figs and the prayer. Are you listening to me? Don't go and put all your confidence in doctors alone. They are not God. We thank God for them. Pastor Kule is owning up. He said, we are not God. All doctors, put your hand up. He said, we are not God. No, they're not God. You know, but we need them. They're very important. Are you listening to me? But as I'm going to the hospital or anything, just pray to God. Even the doctor, show him what to do. You know, give him wisdom. Like, I'm going to put the wrong thing. Doctors have forgotten scalpels inside people on operation table. Yes, he's a man. He's not God. Doctors have cut the wrong thing. Good doctors, experienced doctors, great doctors have made terrible clinical mistakes. That's why you need to pray. So that as his hand is coming, it's God who is directing his hand. Say, this one is my child. You don't do it anyhow. I don't know if I've helped anybody here. Join hands with somebody. Let's share the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. I said everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you are going to live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life, God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to number 8. Let your words be fuel. God bless you. Have a great week.